Now, a lovely story has come our way, and it comes out of a tragedy indeed, but I'm joined in studio by Coleman Collins, who sits opposite me today. Coleman, good to see you again. Thank you indeed for joining us today.
Thank you, Keith.
This is a very positive education story that has come our way today, but it comes after a tragedy because a great friend of ours and yours, Colm Feeney indeed, lived in Bushey Park all of his life, passed away a little over a year ago?
Yeah, January last year, yeah.
Following a significant fight indeed, but we lost him. But his wife and his daughters have come up with a lovely educational opportunity. This is really a very generous opportunity.
It is. It's a remarkable opportunity, Keith, and a fitting legacy for Colm, and tremendously generous by Rosaline and her three daughters to initiate this program, which will, I think, attract some very worthwhile candidates who might otherwise not get this opportunity.
So tell me exactly what. It's a new MBA scholarship program in the University of Galway, starting in September in memory of Colm.
That's correct. And so applications have to be in by the end of April. It's intended that the program would draw applicants, particularly from the SME or social enterprise sectors, which were sectors that Colm particularly identified himself. And there's a unique aspect actually to this MBA program, which wouldn't feature in most programs, and that is that as well as getting the education opportunity, the successful applicant will have the benefit of a mentor who will guide them over the two-year generation of the programme. And in fact, the mentor for the first year is someone that Colm knew well and was specially selected by the family to oversee the first student going through the programme.
Wow. It's philanthropy at its best, isn't it?
It really is. But it sort of reflects, I think, the kind of life that Colm lived himself, as well as being a highly successful business person over 40 years, he was a person who was who believed in giving back.
And indeed, I mean, I worked very well. I knew him from the village, I knew him from the parish, but I also would have worked with him during the Lions Club auctions down through many, many years.
So I believe.
And he was a very, very generous man at that Lions Club auction.
He was, and a very dynamic man as well in terms of making things happen.
There was divilment in him.
There was divilment in him, but the right kind of divilment.
The right kind of divilment, yeah.
Very much so.
He had that beautiful smile he had, and that beautiful positivity about him. So for the family to remember him like this, but also to give somebody, because when I spoke to you about this on the phone yesterday, you were saying that you'd love to give, this gives somebody a chance that may not be in a position to afford it.
Yes, it is. I mean, if you take someone working in a major multinational, they can readily get support from that multinational to do an MBA. But for someone working in a small SME who would benefit greatly from an education input like this, that could be the difference between that SME just battling on a small scale or really evolving into a significant enterprise, as happened in Colm's own case, you know.
So they go to the University of Galway website, and then they can find their way indeed to the scholarship program there.
That's correct.
We're there tomorrow indeed, so we'll get further details on it for them as well. And again, get the application in, and then who determines who the successful candidate is?
Well, the college will.
So the university.
The university will, but there will be an input from the family also, just to ensure that, I guess, that the person is coming from the kind of background that Colm particularly would like to support. I mean, Colm was a mentor himself for many, many years, was instrumental with Liam Blewett in setting up the Skull Mentors and Biz Mentors in Ballyban, and he was a very sought-after mentor. So I think the whole aspect of the mentor being present for the successful applicant, I think greatly increases the chance of the programme being successful for that person.
And I know certainly for Notre Dame, I know that the Nocton family in Dublin, they would have been involved in the Notre Dame side. But are there many such benefactors like this or philanthropy like this from a University of Galway point of view? Do you know?
There are. If you look on the website, there are a number of people listed and organisations listed who are doing this. So it's encouraging to see it. But I guess this one means a lot to so many people because he's a person readily identified professionally and community-wise with Galway.
So the fund is intended to support a student to do the MBA programme starting in September 2024 and is hoped that the person who avails of the opportunity might be someone, as you said, from the SME sector, which Cullen was a champion of from there.
And someone else will come on the following year as well. So it's a programme so in the second year you'll have the person who did the first year plus a new person coming on in the second year.
Wow.
So it's not just a one-off exercise.
It's quite amazing, so it is, isn't it?
It's amazing, so generous, and so soon afterwards, it's so wonderful.
Raw for the family. It really is. And I met Rosaline just before Christmas, I think, around Christmas time, in Spiddle. I bumped into her. But it's just so raw for them.
It's extremely raw, and I think it's testimony to her courage that she could summon the strength to initiate a program like this within what will effectively be a year and a half of Colm's death.
Well done, Rosaline, on that, and well done to all involved in it. So University of Galway then, Coleman Collins, is where they should be looking up and get it from there. And again, the mentor, can we see who the mentor is?
Yes, it's a lady called Sharon Fennessy, who would have been well known to Colm over a long number of years back in his time with the Nortel Networks, where he started before he eventually set up SSL Logistics in the year 2000.
So she will be the mentor for the year?
She'll be the mentor.
What an opportunity for a young person.
Outstanding, because you know yourself, you can be doing a course in college and you can be floundering and you can be wondering, is this the right thing for me? And to have someone there to guide you through it who's highly experienced, well, that's a huge asset to have.
Well done, all involved in that. Colin, thanks for popping into us this morning.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for giving us the opportunity
to circulate this. Delighted. Anything that we can do, delighted to do it. And thank you, Dee, for joining us today on the programme. Quick commercial break, and we're looking at other issues indeed, including, don't forget, Aslan will be joining us in studio shortly, and they'll be playing their new song, Precious, for us, so stay tuned for that. We're going to look, though, at education again next, but we're looking at post-primary schools. Stay tuned for that next. Yeah, a very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. A busy programme, I have to say, today. Now, in Garda Síochána, their retired members association, Galway branch, serving a table quiz this coming Good Friday, the 29th of March, 7:30 p.m. in the Scout Den in Renmore there. So a table of four is €20 and a single entry is €5. There'll be prizes and raffles on the night and all are very welcome to go along to that as well. So that's if you're a retired member in Garda Síochána. Table quiz, Good Friday night, 29th at 7:30 p.m. And they're looking forward to it from there. Now, though, there's quite a few comments coming into today that I will try and get to in a few minutes' time as well. But I want to try and do this and this, and then I can do this. And then I'll have a look at the comments for you as well, because I want to go to Angus Hackett, who joins me shortly on the line, because Angus is going to be in the Town Hall Theatre. And he should be joining me shortly as well. But he's been on the programme many times before in the past, both interviewing and performing live on behalf of the Galway Jazz Festival. He's a jazz guitarist and composer from Galway, and he's frightfully talented, I have to say. But he's doing a concert in the Tyveark this coming Sunday, and we have some tickets to give away for it. But he joins me on the line today. Angus, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. Thanks for having me.
Frightfully talented. Congratulations. You're
frightfully talented. Well, I haven't been called, I've been called many things, but not frightfully talented before, but thank you very much.
I love your music, I love what you stand for, and I love what you do as well, and you're going to be at the Thaibh Arch this coming Sunday. Again, it's selling selling well for you, but if they want to get further details, then go to the Thaibh Arch website, and we have tickets as well we can give away. How is life, and what will you be performing on the night?
Life is good, thank you, and I'll be performing music from a new jazz trio album that I have coming out, and there's myself on guitar, and Matthew Jacobson on drums, and Derek White on bass, and Derek and Matt, they're some of the best musicians really in the country, so it's a real privilege for me to be able to play with them. I'm really looking forward to it. So it's kind of a mix of jazz and rock and bit of everything really. So really, really looking forward to it.
And how long will it be, can I ask you?
We'll be playing kind of one set, like about 70 minutes. So that's kind of the usual thing with it, with a kind of a modern jazz concert like that. So I'll be selling the CDs and the album on the night.
And the Thaibh Arch is very cozy. I love the intimacy of the Thaibh Arch, and the acoustics are tremendous as well.
It's so nice, yeah. And it's funny. It was a real kind of hidden gem in a way in Galway. Like it never really. I think only now it's reaching its full potential as a music venue. It's like it's so wonderful that Phoebean and Pierce Doherty and all that kind of experience like that they're taking it over, and they've really took it up several notches. Like it's such a beautiful venue to perform in. I was playing in there during the summer during the the Arts Festival with Contempo Quartet, and it was so nice. Like it's just such a lovely, like you said, it's a lovely intimate venue, and we're lucky to have it really. And
the numbers are quite small. Is it 150 seating roughly?
Something like that. Yeah, 140. I think. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
So it makes it intimate from there. Who do you look to then, from a musical point of view, yourself for inspiration?
Well, I would have studied jazz a lot, and there's all the jazz greats like Wes Montgomery and Jim Hall and all of those from a jazz guitar point of view, that they'd be huge influences. But really, like, I mean, my listening habits would be, they'd run the full gamut of all kind of styles, like from country to folk to electronica to rock to, I suppose, rock would have been one of my first loves, so Rory Gallagher and all that kind of stuff would have been a big influence. So I think it's nice to kind of, when you play guitar, it's a bit different maybe than saxophone or other jazz instruments. Like you can bring in those influences, relatively easy with the electric guitar, So that's a really nice thing about, jazz, is it's quite open to kind of absorb and all those different genres and things into it. So I really like that, yeah.
But if you were traveling or you were in the car and you were listening and you heard a bit of music and maybe some new bit of music that came out, would you be thinking of the jazz aspect that you could make, turn that into?
Well, yeah. And it's kind of interesting, like the jazz tradition, would have been like the great American songbook, like reinterpreting Broadway kind of songs, like famous songs like All of Me and Fly Me to the Moon and that kind of thing. But like jazz has moved on a lot since then, and it's, you can almost create your own songbook. Like there's some great jazz artists that cover, Radiohead songs or Irish traditional tunes or, anything really. So it's all fair game really, in a way. It's not, it doesn't sound forced when you do that, because that's kind of part of the tradition. So certainly, yeah. When you hear kind of, once something has a good melody, like it's just it stands on its own two feet, and you can reinterpret it in a loose way, like in a jazz way, or just play it, as a cover. And it's just something that's really inherent in strong melodies and all that kind of thing. So that's something that's really dear to my heart anyway, as a musician.
Yeah. And again, it's a gift that you have, that you can bring anywhere in the world with you.
It is. It's great. Yeah. And it's just, it brings you so many wonderful experiences, and you know, not only sharing with audiences, but also just the experiences of playing with great musicians. And it's, I mean, it's just like being a child again, you know. It's just, you can really kind of let loose in a playful manner, you know. That's just so nice. And it's a real privilege to make that your career or your way to earn your bread, you know.
And you can make a few bob out of it, hopefully, from that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Which is the most important thing. Listen, it's good to have you, and thanks for joining us today. It's a lovely story. So just the Thai React this coming Sunday. And
that's right.
Tickets, is it from Thai React to get the tickets?
Okay. Yes, exactly, on the Thai React website, yes.
See, and Pierce has given us a pair of tickets indeed to give away today. So if you want to just good send stuff. In your name and just send in Angus Hackett, just those two words, Angus Hackett, because that's who will be performing in the Thai Rack this coming Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. And again, it's Bank Holiday weekend, of course, as well. So they can meander through town and have something to eat. And
indeed, yeah, exactly. It could be make a nice weekend out of it.
And inhale the atmosphere of it all together. Angus, good to talk to you, and thanks to you for joining us today on the programme. That's Angus Hackett joining us online there. And our thanks to Angus for joining us. If you want to be in with a chance to win a pair of tickets, just send in those two words, Angus Hackett. Send it in now to 086 38 33 55 3 and be in with a chance to win from there. We'd love to have you go along to that and just enjoy it. But go to the Thai Rack website and get further details from there as well. And do so straight away, if you don't mind, because we need to close the lines on that one. Don't forget, yet to come to on the programme, Aslan in studio with us, and will be performing as well their new song, Precious. So stay tuned for that. And more to come on today's programme. Again, if you want to get in contact with us, you can do so quite simply by texting us on 086 38 33 55 3, or you can call us on 091 770077. Well, 83% of post-primary principals say supports and information are not in place to enable effective delivery of school book scheme by this September. NAPD's Deputy Director, Rachel O'Connor, joins me on the line today. Rachel, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. I actually thought that this was all done, dusted and sorted in my naivety, but 83% of post-primary principals say that supports and information are not in place. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely, Keith. And I suppose we to a certain extent thought it was done and dusted as well. But what has happened is, in terms of our time and capacity to roll it out, it's incredibly tight in terms of the timeframes involved. And one of the biggest issues is around public procurement. You know, it was rolled out successfully at primary level last year, but at post-primary, it's a very different beast altogether. We're talking about huge sums of money. And in the vast majority of post-primary schools, we've exceeded that threshold of €50,000. You could double, triple, quadruple that in terms of the sums that have landed in our school accounts over the last week or so. And so now what we're dealing with is European-wide tenders. And that's an incredibly complex space to navigate. I was a post-primary principal myself for the last 10 years, and I've navigated e-tenders twice in terms of buildings, and it's incredibly complex. Our principals just simply aren't trained in it. And then obviously it's time-bound as well, each step along the way of an e-tender process. And so that's the main concern that's coming back from us, from our members.
Can I ask you though, can I just kind of pare it back a small bit, Rachel? Because
sure.
Are you saying that the money has come into your account, now you have to go and procure the books? Should that not be done at a national level for you? So you're told Finnegan's Bookshop or whatever distributors, that's where you go to get those books. They make sure that they have enough of them in stock, and you send them the money and end of story.
Yeah, in an ideal world, I suppose that's absolutely one solution that could have been put in place. As school leaders, we received guidelines and comprehensive guidelines from the department in March, but very limited guidelines in terms of procurement. And I'm aware that it's the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform that's really, I suppose, been stringent in terms of the procurement guidelines. Heretofore, I suppose, in terms of schools that would have had book rentals, they would have worked very closely with local bookshops and local suppliers.
Yeah.
And we would be very concerned about those as well, Keith, and you get your three quotes and then you get your lowest, most suitable and so on. But this has been devolved locally to schools, and so each individual school must engage with European-wide tenders, and it's just at the moment it's not practical, and the timelines involved are really, really tight for us to have it up and running for September.
For your members then, Rachel O'Connor, what happens And the second week in September, when the students arrive in full of the joys of life, having had a wonderful summer, please God, and all that goes with it. How do you educate them? How do your members educate them?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose it's really important to reiterate that NAPD is wholly supportive of this. This scheme is very, very important. It brings us up in line with European and the European system that's in place and creates equity within the system.
But not if you can't get the bus.
Our hope is that it will be up and running by September. But I think a lot of things will have to happen between now and then in order for it to happen. Perhaps alleviation of those procurement guidelines. I don't know who has the power to do that. And further expert administrative support for our school leaders in order to even to go through to set up a school on the e-tendering system and design tender documents and all of the technicalities around that. There's no room for error when we're dealing with public finances. And our fear is that people will drop the ball on this and then the blame will all come back on the school leader who is literally trying to do their best to have things up and running for September to welcome our students back, to ease that cost of return to school on our parents as well, that we really want it up and running. But at the moment, our hands are tied in terms of the public procurement guidelines.
But come back, though, to my question. Suppliers need lead time to get books printed and get books in. Stocks have to be brought in and they have to, they can't carry everything because it's an expensive old business, so it is.
Yeah.
So, for 1 year, if it's not up and running, could the parents buy the books from wherever and be reimbursed by the school?
No, Minister Foley is adamant that parents won't be left at an expense in terms of the school books and so on. In terms of what happens when students come back to school, hopefully we won't have to deal with that. Second and third years will have the majority of their books in the majority. And it's not just books, Keith, it's books, it's copies, it's workbooks, it's exam papers, it's pens, it's pencils, it's calculators, it's everything in terms of a child being ready to go back to school. In terms of first year, there's alleviation there in terms of taster modules. So there would be a lot of teacher-generated content anyway and less reliance on books at the very beginning of first year. But the time frame is tight and we're really asking for further expert administrative support for school leaders to have it up and running before September.
And what is the relationship between the NAPD, Rachel O'Connor as Deputy Director, between your organisation and the Minister?
Oh, a very collaborative, healthy working relationship, absolutely. We're a recognised educational stakeholder and we have been working alongside with the department in terms of the development of these guidelines and so on. But I suppose in terms of the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform and it's the public procurement guidelines are really hamstringing us at the moment in terms of getting this up and running and to get the process started within our schools. That's what's really we're struggling with at the moment.
Yeah, and again, it's common sense, really and truly. And it's great. I mean, imagine just lifting the burden off parents that are heart-stopped as it is. But now it's a matter of trying to get it done. So can you give me a practical example then of a school, say Finnegan's College down in Ballinderreen or somewhere? How is this going to work for them, in your opinion?
Yeah, so look, there's the ideal scenario where I was talking to a school the other day and they've got a wonderful relationship with a local bookshop that will actually, they send in the book lists, what they need for first, second and third years. The bookshop then will organise for each individual student a package with their first year books and stationery, second and third year and so on. The bookshop then will liaise and will text the parent in terms of when that package is ready, simply come and collect it. So it's reducing the burden on the school and the bookshop is liaising directly with the parents. Parents come and collect the package and that child is set up and ready at no cost to the parent for returning to school. The current reality is that we have to set up a school on e-tender, design tender documents, deal with queries, evaluate the tenders as they come in, deal with preferred suppliers and then enter into legal contracts at a European-wide basis. So it beggars belief in terms of just the practical, simple solution that's already in place for the majority of our schools, why we simply can't engage in that process just for this coming school year at the very minimum.
And the school you're talking about there that had the local shop and all that type of stuff, mm-hmm. is that covered under e-tenders?
No. So they can't do that anymore. So they've had this relationship for at least 20, 25 years where this has happened, obviously minus the texting, whereas this has happened, this relationship with the local bookshop for many, many years. And now they can't because we're above the e-tendering threshold in terms of the monies involved.
It's wonderful, but bizarre. that you can't.
Now you've said it.
So you have the money, but you can't use it locally to look after those that are looking after, you know, that have looked after the school for years. Like and I know it's all about getting value for money. I know everything everything about it, but it's tough. It's tough on the schools in question. So it is. It really is.
Yeah, and it is, and it's wonderful for parents and for our students. It's creating equity in the system. The cost of returning to school can be extortionate on some families, and we really support it. But currently, our school leaders are lacking the capacity and the expertise. So we're simply calling on expert administrative support for our school leaders to enable us to roll this out. And it's one of many things where we need that support. You could look at plant management, okay, buildings, health and safety, HR. I'm expected to wake up in the morning and be an expert in these areas with minimal training in same. So we're just calling on that expert support for school leaders across the country.
All right. Rachel O'Connor, Deputy Director of the National Association for Principals and Deputy Principals, thank you for joining us today on the programme. And come back to us with a solution, if you don't mind, please. Keith, I'm 100% supportive of Tony Flannery. It's been run like a business. They're not doing what Christ did on the streets, and they do not like women, this caller said. Now, that's going a bit too far, really and truly. Keith, the winner of the pair of tickets to go along in association with Aaron Ferries is Louise McDonough in Moycullen. Louise McDonough in Moycullen, congratulations to you. Now let's take a short commercial break, and we're back with Aslan in studio and their brand new song called Precious. Stay tuned. This is going to be good fun. And a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme with you right through until 12 midday. Aslan are back on the road again, and I'm joined by Bill, by Lee, by Joe and by Alan. And they're coming to Munro's on Saturday the 20th of April. Out of the embers of sadness, I suppose, really, and all of that. Bill, you're back on the road again, so you are?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've spent 40 years with Christy and, Aslan, fantastic band. Christy passed last year, and myself, Joe and Alan, we decided to keep the band going.
Was it a big decision?
But the music is so good, and the alternative would have been for just Aslan to finish up, and then those songs would never be heard in a live set again. You know, so it was an easy decision for us, and we love music. We've been doing it for 40 years. What else are we going to do? So we decided to keep it going, and then obviously we need a singer, to sing the songs. So that's when Lee Tompkins came on board.
And how did you select him?
That's an interesting story, because we didn't actually advertise on social media or that put out that we were looking for a singer, but myself, Joe and Alan were up playing the music in the rehearsal studio, and Lee heard we were up there, and he contacted Alan Downey, brother Gary. Alan's the drummer, contacted his brother Gary, and he said, Gary, will you ask the lads if they want a singer? I can go up. I know all the songs. Lee is from Finglas. He's been a big fan of Aslan. So we said, yeah, of course, come on up. And that was it. We locked the door, and we haven't let him out of our sight since.
I kind of noticed that, yeah. You have him in the corner this morning, so you have. Lee, what was it like? What was it like to get that call?
It was amazing, because obviously, as a kid growing up in Finglas, it's Aslan is the religion in Finglas, So yeah. it's amazing when I walked into the room first, it was like 16-year-old Lee was like,
nervous.
Oh, wow, this is great, Well, there is nerves as well, but it's also a pleasure to get to sing the songs and just to play with the lads. So it was great. It was great to get the call.
You have big boots to fill, so you have, but you have your own unique style to it then as well.
That's the thing. You have to put your own stamp on things, because Christy was so unique and amazing at what he did. You can't emulate it and you can't replicate it. So you have to just put your own stamp on it and be yourself, and hopefully the fans will appreciate it,
And you're looking forward to being on the road and coming to Galway on the 20th of April.
I can't wait. Yeah. It's going to be amazing, because the band sounds great.
You're in Munro's, which is huge capacity, by the way, as well.
It is, so and it's a great gang. Venue. Yeah, it's
a great venue. Alan, thanks for joining us as well today. Again, sentimental, and I'm looking at you, and I'm sure it's difficult to be back on the road again, but you're keeping the music alive.
Yeah, look, the band, we went through an awful lot, as a lot of people know, with Christy over the last, he was diagnosed in 2013. More or less, Christy set the pace from 2013 up to his passing last year. Look, it's like anyone, it's like losing your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. Christy was so close to us over the years, obviously after 42 years together. Yeah, we didn't know what to do. We were lost, totally lost. Mm. And then obviously we left it for a few months and then we met up and we just decided, we just said, look, what are we going to do for the rest of our lives? And we said, well, this is what we're going to do for the rest of our lives. And we were just so lucky to meet Lee. Mm. You know, like, we've had a lot of ups and downs over the years with the band. And sometimes, as I always believe, you're just handed these little nuggets, these things, these pieces of luck just come out of nowhere. And that's exactly what this lad here is. He just came along, he fits the part, he's the right age, he voice like a horse.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
No, I said his voice.
All right.
Thanks for the clarification on that.
So, yeah. But look, happy days. We did our first gig last Friday, so we're all feeling really good and fresh and ready to go again. And we can't wait. What we're doing at the moment, we're loving it. Just, we've created this whole new sound, this whole new energy. Mm. And we can't wait to get to Galway and do it in Munro's on the 20th of April.
Absolutely. Joe, can I bring you in there if you don't mind? You've had some great times, I'd say, to be honest.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I'd say there's a great book in the whole lot of you, if you could write it.
I think so, yeah. Unfortunately, none of us can write, so that's kind of lucky that way. No, we just want to get back on the road again, you know. I mean, we're not doing, like I say, we're not doing anything different than any other bands, like, who lost members, you know, like the Foo Fighters, Queen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a million of them, you know. So it's kind of the next step, you know what I mean? And it was kind of, like, as Alan says, we did go through a lot. But, I mean, even for us, it was so important to make some changes in the songs, just in rearranging them, you know, because it wouldn't make any sense at all just to go out there and do the exact same thing, you know. Because, you know, Christy's irreplaceable, as everybody knows. And Lee is a musician, he's a guitarist. So it's sort of, the sound has sort of, I wouldn't say heavier, but just a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because it's another, as Billy said, it's another journey. So you can't do the same thing, you know, you have to change it.
Again, I love the way you said it's like losing a family member, but you still have to get on with life. So that's what you're doing.
That's exactly,
but again, what's it like to be back on the circuit again and to be up at this hour of the morning and coming down here and then you're on the road quite a bit now. So the sleepings are gone.
Just a little bit out of practice, you know what I mean? Falling asleep driving home, but we'll get over that.
But it's only a year and a half.
Yeah.
Like, and when you slot back into it, like travelling down last Friday down to Cork, it's just natural to you. It just comes back. When you've been doing it for so long,
yeah.
Okay, you leave it for a year and a half, but you slot back in so quickly.
Yeah, and even COVID before that, it was different.
Yeah. Oh,
the
yeah.
COVID thing was on top of that was
totally
just,
different. So that kind of...
And I speak for all musicians or all people that are in the arts. It was just a disaster.
Yeah.
Well, I think gave us, you know, it really cheered us up was the fans' reaction last Friday in Cork.
Yeah.
It was the first gig in a year and a half, new singer, you know, full band, 6-piece band, and we went out and the reaction was just amazing. It couldn't have went any better.
And that must give you great adrenaline flow.
Absolutely. It's given us a new lease of life. Yeah. It's given us these gigs now. We're on a run around Ireland. The two Dublin dates are already sold out. Munro's is close to being sold out, according to Gary. So he was on to us. He said, there's only a few tickets left. So
Gary says that to every gig.
Does he?
He does.
Right, okay, well, I'll have a word about Gary
even
then.
Even if it is sold out, he'll still say there's still a few left.
Really? Right, yeah. Okay. Now, we used to play Munro's years and years ago. Look, we've played everywhere in Galway as well. We used to do the Keys and we did Leisureland and we did, you know, the other one, that was the ballroom. The
Great Southern Hotel, yeah.
Yeah.
And the festival. And the festival?
The Galway Festival.
Galway.
Out in the airport.
Yeah.
We did it with UB40.
Yeah.
It was great.
Fever
was fantastic.
Good on you guys.
Yeah.
Good on
but
you.
Yeah, it was great.
Look, we're back. You know, it's been a tough year and a half for us, but we're back. Aslan are back.
But you can actually see the energy in you. You're having great crack.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's about, the music,
absolutely.
The crack.
Well, that's like
keeping it alive.
When we made, as we were talking about a minute ago, when we made the decision to get back, why would we not want to do this?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this has been our life since
kids.
It's why the Saw Doctors got back together. That's the same thing. Leo and Davey, they probably missed it and went, right, we're getting back. And they're back and they're flying.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? So it's music. If you love music, this is what we do. We eat and drink and sleep music.
Yeah.
We're not going to go off and get a, jobs anywhere else, because this is what we do.
No. Lee, listen well done to you. No pressure now, by the way.
Thanks a million.
So again, it's going to be Munro's on the 20th of April. If you want to get further details on that, go to the Munro's website and get further details there from there. So if you want to go to Munro's website, get further details, you can do so from there. Guys, thanks for dropping into us today.
Thank you very much.
What's about the horse again? Now that the horse is sorted, let's go to Aslan and Precious.
One, two, three, four. You're 18 and you're old enough. Do what you wanna do. You're 18 and you're old enough. Don't have to listen to you. No, you ain't no child no more. Now you're out there on your own. Said you ain't no child no more. Bet you're feeling all alone. Tell me, do you feel that what's going on is real? Or what's really going on is just make-believe? Precious, so precious. But there's no one there to catch us. No one. It's just games in your imagination. With some strange situations. Like diamonds in a gold mine. On the back street that made you feel fine. Tell me, do you feel that what's going on is real?
Congratulations, guys, and what a lovely bit of music, and what lovely people as well. Thank you to Matthew Lyons and to Dylan Connolly as well for all their assistance on that. And again, don't forget that if you want to get Aslan tickets, they're available on Munro's website. They're €30 plus a €3 booking fee as well, and there are some still left. I just checked the website this morning and there's still a few left there, so if you want to get further details on that, you can basically just go to the Munro's website. Good luck, lads, and safe travelling, and thanks for coming down in this woeful weather as well today. Don't forget, tomorrow morning again we'll be giving you a chance to win in association with Aran Island Ferries. You can cruise from Inishmore or Galway City indeed, which the Galway City to Inishmore route starts again on Good Friday and runs right through indeed until the 29th or 22nd, I think it is, of September 2024. It is, yeah. So it runs from the 29th, which is this coming Friday, to the 22nd. And you can also use the tickets to go from Rosseville. We'll be giving you a chance to win tomorrow. And we could be upgrading you indeed to a weekend away, or a night away indeed, in a weekend, or whenever you want to go, or during the week or otherwise, in the wonderful, with a wonderful team, or the Aenia Bed and Breakfast there as well. Tomorrow morning on the programme, we'll be broadcasting live from the University of Galway Access Centre tomorrow. We'll be talking to Dr. Mary Surlis, who's a senior academic manager at the centre, Olgon Mahoney, who's a previous Access student, and Sean McDermott, who's a current Access student, will be joining us. We'll also be catching up with Silicon Valley CEO, who has returned to her West of Ireland roots for Platform 94 business briefing, which is going on today. We'll hear all about how the arts and crafts can get 10 to 14-year-olds off their phones, and we'll also have some financial advice from Dave McCarthy from McCarthy and Associates in Wood Quay, as well as history talks as well tomorrow morning at the programme. So all of that and more tomorrow morning, live from the University of Galway Access Centre. We're looking forward to getting out and about there tomorrow. Thank you to Leah, who produced today. Siobhan took your comments, but from yours truly, Keith Finnegan. Thank you to all involved in the programme, and a special thank you, by the way, to all the lads from Aslin and the crew from there as well. Great to have them in town, and great to have them in studio as well. We shall talk to you tomorrow. Stand by, Ronan is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning live from Studio... Wow, well, that's from Studio One, from the Access Centre in the University of Galway. Tomorrow morning, just after 9 o'clock. Bye-bye.